you take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, October 14th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you can join us for today on this excellent Tuesday. Got a lot of stuff happening here as we are now officially 3 weeks away from legalizing marijuana in Oregon, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. We are 3 weeks away from legalizing medical marijuana in Florida and Guam, and we will be bringing you our coverage of 2014 marijuana election night right here on November 4th, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll take you from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon, from the Great White North of Alaska to the Sunshine State of Florida, and everywhere in between. If they're voting on marijuana law reform, we will be covering it with live reporters right there, covering it from their home cities and states. So check us out on election night. This will be the place to be. You can also listen to us on the go on TuneIn Radio. If you get the TuneIn Radio app for your smartphone, you can listen to us anywhere you can get a signal. All right, on today's show, like I said, well, before we get today's show, let me mention tomorrow my appearance on X-Ray FM here in Portland, Oregon, 91.1 FM on the Jefferson Smith Show. We'll be discussing Measure 91 for an entire hour, noon to 1 o'clock Pacific time. If you go to X-Ray FM on the web, I don't know their site off the top of my head, but Google X-Ray FM, and I believe they stream live as well. I'll be on from noon to 1. I will be preceded by District Attorney Josh Marquis, and I will be followed by Kevin Sabet. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Check it out tomorrow noon on 91.1 FM. Oh, I'm sorry, 107.1. Sorry, wrong one. 107.1 FM. X-Ray FM here in Portland, Oregon. So that's happening tomorrow, but on today's show, all sorts of great stuff to talk about. We have got the director, Adam Scorgi, of The Culture High, a fantastic documentary that's opening up this Friday. And folks, I've been watching this thing, and it's probably the best marijuana drug war compendium that I have ever watched. It's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. It covers every angle from the media to big pharma to medical. You got to check this out. We'll talk about it at half past. Also today on the Radical Rant, we've uncovered more in our records request. And I'm going to show you exactly why our Oregon sheriffs want to keep marijuana illegal. And then we will also have a few other segments today. We're going to talk about rookie cookies in our Behind the Headlines, showing how the legalization of marijuana has followed somewhat of a different path than alcohol prohibition and somewhat bent the iron law of prohibition. So we will check that out. And more stories coming up here on the 420 radio as we take a look at the rest of the news headlines, which come up right after this first break. We've got figures from the Colorado Department of Revenue on marijuana taxes, fees, and revenues. We've got a scandal brewing here in Oregon over a grow site from 1997. You'll have to check this one out. Anaheim, California is pulling the plug on illegal dispensaries. We got figures in from Seattle, Washington's second pot store and their first week of operations. More trouble for the Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson, who's on child abuse charges. And Halloween's coming up, so watch out for that pot-laced candy. The cops are getting their warnings out. We'll cover it in the news. All that's coming up on the Russ Melville Show here on 420radio.org. You can support us by going to 420radio.org and clicking on Donate up in the menu buttons there. We've also got a button up at RadicalRuss.com for our GoFundMe fight. Looks like we may have to file some lawsuits, and that's going to cost us some money. Check out GoFundMe.com/FightSabet if you want to help. We're back with the news right after this.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on...
I'm Pete Tutmark. I spent 33 years in law enforcement, from deputy sheriff to sergeant, working 10 hours a day protecting Oregonians. Last year in Oregon, there were 13,000 citations and arrests for marijuana. That takes time. Time better spent solving murders, rape cases, finding missing children. The system is broken. Measure 91 regulates marijuana for adults, so police have time to fight serious, violent, and unsolved crimes. It's about time.
Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, every Friday at 5 and 8 Pacific on...
I don't care for marijuana, but I do care about my family and their future. The system's not working now, so I think I'm voting yes on 91. Now, one small mistake getting caught with a little marijuana can ruin a life. A record, can't get loans, jobs, or credit, that's wrong. Measure 91 will regulate marijuana and generate tax revenue dedicated to police and schools, and let police protect us from serious crimes. Yes on 91 is a better approach.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, October 14th, 2014. New figures from the Colorado Department of Revenue show that recreational marijuana sales continued to climb in August, the most recent month for which data are available. Recreational sales totaled approximately $34.1 million in August, up from $29.3 million the previous month. Medical marijuana also jumped sharply in August after several months of flat or declining sales. Medical sales figures were just under the recreational total at $33.4 million. Total tax revenues from medical and recreational marijuana continue to edge upward. The state took in about $7.5 million in revenues from both markets in August, or about $45 million year to date. As of August, 55% of recreational marijuana tax revenues were collected outside Denver County. With sales starting in Aurora this month, these numbers are likely to continue to climb. A new report says Sylvia Hayes, fiance of Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber, partnered to buy land intended for an illegal marijuana growing operation in 1997. CoinTV reported late Monday that Hayes partnered with a man to buy the $245,000 property in Washington State using a $15,000 down payment in November of that year. The man who sold the couple the land told the station that Hayes and her partner soon stopped making payments, and records showed that Hayes gave up her interest in the property in April 1998. She moved to Oregon 3 months later. Hayes said she never financially was involved in the marijuana grow and shortly after moving there, quote, began to make plans to get away. Hayes got engaged over the summer to Kitzhaber, the Democratic governor, who is seeking a fourth term in next month's election. Recently, Kitzhaber openly opposed Measure 91, the initiative to legalize marijuana in Oregon, but called legalization, quote, inevitable, end quote. Anaheim, California is literally pulling the plug on medical marijuana dispensaries that keep popping up despite a law forbidding the businesses. 9 shops closed last month and 8 others will likely shut down by the end of the week, Anaheim spokesman Ruth Ruiz said. Another 11 will soon be ordered to close or lose their water and power. State voters legalized medical marijuana 20 years ago, but the California Supreme Court ruled last year that cities can choose to forbid dispensaries. Anaheim banned the shops, but that hasn't kept them from doing business. Dispensaries can face criminal charges and fines of up to $1,000 a day for operating in the city. Central Seattle's only pot store, Uncle Ike's, sold $13,736 worth of marijuana per day in the first week of sales. Uncle Ike's, the first I-502 retailer to operate in central Seattle within wafting distance of Capitol Hill, started things off with a bang, netting nearly $17,000 in marijuana sales on its September 30th launch day. The rest of the week didn't fade, generating an average take of $13,736 per day. The tax man is smiling too, with a quarter of sales heading to Olympia. Olympia, Ike's is generating $3,500 in excise tax per day. Also well pleased are the I-502 growers and processors. Based on state totals, those businesses are claiming around 49% of Washington's retail revenue to secure their product. While the totals for Ike's seem pretty incredible, they're not far off from what the old state liquor stores in the area reportedly generated. Minnesota Vikings star running back Adrian Peterson could be facing a week in jail after allegedly admitting last week to smoking marijuana. The judge in Peterson's case, Kelly Case, told an audience last year that he gives a one-week jail sentence to those who test positive in their first court-administered drug exams. According to court records, Peterson admitted last week to smoking, quote, a little weed, end quote, a confession he made while submitting to a drug test in Montgomery County, Texas. Based on Peterson's alleged confession, the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office wants Peterson arrested and his $15,000 bond revoked. It's up to the judge whether to grant that request. The question is whether Case will get to make that decision or any others related to Peterson's felony child abuse case. Denver police have warned parents to beware of tricks rolled inside Halloween treats this year, marijuana-infused candy. Patrick Johnson, proprietor of Urban Dispensary, one of several marijuana retailers, recommends parents trash any candy that isn't sealed in a recognizable brand name wrapper. That's actually good advice in any state. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, October 14th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420.
Mike Schwab is a former middle school science and math teacher. Currently, he works with children daily as an after-school program leader.
Currently, kids have easy access to marijuana with little understanding of its impact. We can take better care of our kids through Measure 91 with strict regulations and funding for proven marijuana education and prevention programs to keep kids from using it. Under our current marijuana laws, one mistake can ruin a life. Measure 91 removes unfairly harsh punishment for marijuana offenses and gets more tax money to local police and drug prevention. Vote yes on 91.
What the authorities should do is decriminalize pot use. You want to do it in your house, not bother anyone? Fine. Go outside with a joint or a pipe, you pay a fine.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away, and if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
Welcome back, everybody. 13 after the hour, and time for us to go behind the headlines. And I saw this story pop up about rookie cookies, and I wanted to talk a little bit about this. And as you know, I recently followed the quarterback of the anti-legalization movement, you know, Kevin Sabet, the Joker to my Batman, as he earned $21,000 touring Oregon to frighten our rural voters into opposing Measure 91, our legalization initiative. Now, two of his go-to scare lines are the tales of Levi Tamba, the 19-year-old exchange student who ate an entire marijuana-infused cookie and leaped to his death from a hotel balcony, and Maureen Dowd, the liberal New York Times columnist who was couch-locked by a marijuana-infused chocolate bar. Sabet claims, quote, "The response of the industry was to say, oh, see, she was supposed to cut that chocolate bar into 16 pieces and just eat one of them. Folks, I don't know about how you eat chocolate, but that's not how the way I would eat it," end quote. Yes, Kevin, that's readily apparent by your expanding waistline. Former Normal director Richard Cowens came up with an iron law of prohibition. And what the Iron Law of Prohibition states is that the more strictly a prohibition is enforced, the more potent the drug becomes. Now, during alcohol prohibition, a smuggler had a choice. You can fill the trunk of the Studebaker with cases of beer, or you can fill the trunk of the Studebaker with cases of whiskey. You get busted with either of them, you're going to go to prison. So why not smuggle the whiskey that earns more profit? Once prohibition was lifted, the first intoxicating liquors allowed by law were lower proof beer and wine. And then later, the harder stuff became slowly legal again. And then later still, we got the right to home brew back and so forth. But with marijuana, we've had a strange path to legalization that arose through medical marijuana. And patients confound the Iron Law of Prohibition because their need for potent products doesn't arise from scarcity so much as desperation. They need the most potent products, whether it's legal or not, because it's their medicine. And weaker products aren't really going to relieve their conditions. So, unlike the end of 20th century prohibition on alcohol, where newly legal drinkers were drinking 3-2 beer, at the end of 21st century prohibition, newly legal cannabis consumers are exposed to the highest potency medical marijuana products ever created. And so, yeah, you're going to get stories like Levi Tamba jumping off a hotel or Maureen Dowd in a fetal position in the hotel bed, just like we would have gotten horror stories about alcohol poisonings if the minute prohibition was lifted, the only thing available was Jim Beam and Jack Daniels. But legality is finally moving consumer marijuana products back to a wider range of potency, including new products that are designed specifically for the novice marijuana consumer. About a year ago, I think, I was at an event in Denver, and this company had this pre-rolled tin of cigarettes, you know, really nice little tin, hold 10 marijuana cigarettes in it. And the brand was called Sitka, like Sitka, Alaska, right? And they had various flavors and types, right? But the thing I noticed is they were highlighting the Sitka brand that was a 3.5% THC potency. 3.5%. You know, Kevin Samet likes to joke that, well, today's marijuana is not the relatively mild Woodstock weed that our parents and grandparents smoked in the 60s and 70s. Well, yeah, it is. These new Sitka joints are actually the Woodstock weed. You know, 3-4% THC. And that's because a lot of consumers now that are jumping into this newly regulated market smoked back in the day. Now their kids are out of the house. They want to get back into it. They don't want to get bombed out of their minds. They just want something that's nice and relaxing. The same reason they don't want to chug Jack Daniels and they'd rather have a sip of Chardonnay. And ABC News just did a story on the rookie cookies. I think this is the best development ever. Colorado manufacturers now are stocking their shops with some milder THC products. And this is because they found that the edibles are incredibly popular. Nobody could have imagined how much more popular newly legal consumers would want edibles more so than like smoking a joint. But, you know, there's nowhere to smoke it. You're not allowed to smoke openly. Smoking's been denigrated in this society. And so a lot of people turning back to marijuana remember the tales of the old pot brownies and think, well, that's what I'll try. So this rookie cookie thing is an entire cookie with just 10 milligrams of THC in it. That's just one serving dose compared to the 65 milligrams that was in Levi Tamba's cookie. And according to ABC News, they say, quote, "That's a low enough dose that most adults wouldn't be too impaired to drive a car," end quote. So they're figuring that a 10 milligram THC dose, you're not going to have over 5 nanograms in your blood, which is the presumptive limit in Colorado. And you may have heard of Dixie Elixirs. Dixie Elixirs makes a line of these sodas that you can get. Kevin Samet likes to use those in his presentation as well, denigrate, like, why would any adult ever want a grape soda? I like grape soda. But anyway, Dixie Elixirs, they make their bottles usually with 75 milligrams of THC. They're now distributing a rookie brand. It's called Dixie One. And the entire bottle just has 5 milligrams of THC in it. And the dispensary owners are saying that these new lighter products are flying off the shelves. And Tim Cullen, one of the owner of two Denver area dispensaries, said, quote, We still get people walking in here saying, what's the strongest thing? But more and more, they're asking about flavor, the experience, the whole nine yards. And that's what legalization does for us, folks. It gives us variety.
You're a loony.
Maybe. But that's the thing, man. When it's illegal, you just got to get the most bang for your buck. And the only way you can brand your marijuana is, I got the baddest shit, man. It's the diggityest dank, man. But now that we can comparison shop and shop online, we can compare based on other factors like taste, aroma. Hey, folks, we got to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Stick around.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
The Jody Emery Show with Jody Emery from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Replaying Fridays at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 22 after the hour. And for today's Drug War Data Mining, we're going to show you how you can prove how many people smoke pot in your state. And we do this through the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Data Archive and their collection of the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. I've posted this link in our chat room at 420radio.org if you want to look at it. We'll bring that screen up for you so you can get a better look at what's going on. But when you get there, you're going to see these folders. National Survey on Drug Use and Health is the one you want to go to. And while they have these studies that go from 2012 all the way back to 1979, those are national level. And the way that you get the state level stuff is you have to go in these things at the very top called the RDAS. And you'll have them broken down by 8-year, 4-year, 2-year, and 10-year. And I like to use the 2-year RDAS because then we can get data from 2010 and 2011. So clicking on that gives you a bunch of other selections, but they've so nicely highlighted RDAS to make it very easy for you to find. Click on RDAS and you will be taken to the site for analyzing this sub-state data. And there may be a screen you have to go to for accepting terms and all that. I've already bypassed that particular screen. So as we look at this National Survey on Drug Use and Health, on the left-hand side, you're going to see a whole selection of variables that are available for you to scan through. And the easiest way I find is to just take a variable and throw it into the fields there and see what happens. Core substance use, for example, opens up and we can find marijuana. And there's all sorts of things like, have you ever used marijuana? Time since you last used marijuana and so forth. But there's oftentimes better data to be found if you get out of core substance and get into this one called imputed substance. Imputed substance use is where they use logic and deduction to come up with more useful variables to use. One of them, recency of drug use. When was the last time you took a drug? And they break that down by cigarettes and cigars and pipes and smokeless tobacco. I mean, it's really detailed. And soon enough, you'll find this one, IRMJRC, marijuana recency. You can take that marijuana recency and drop it or you can type it in here. So IRMJRC, and that will come up, marijuana recency. You have to have a row. That's all you have to have. And by just picking just a row, you can often find out what will this variable tell you. When we click run the table, for example, we find that IRMJRC is a variable that will tell us whether or not someone smoked marijuana within the past 30 days, more than 30 days, but within the past year, more than 12 months ago, or have they never used marijuana? And we find nationally, 6.3% of Americans are smoking marijuana on a monthly basis, and another 4.5% are smoking it on a annual basis. And scroll over a little bit here, this will tell you the number in thousands, right? So this is 77,000. Let's see, what do we got? It can't be 77 million. Anyway, let's go. Right, because this is five different studies that it's looking at. This is the RDAS. So yes, it is 77 million over the five different studies. We need to narrow that down by a particular year, because having those 5 years of studies is going to be problematic. There is an item here called control, and control will tell you, will give you a separate page for each year. It's a very simple variable. It's one of the very first ones listed. Year pair indicator tells you which pair of years we're looking at. If we run the table now, it'll be a little more understandable, because now you can see there's data from 2003, 2005, 2007, 2009. So here's the data from 2010, 2011 for us. And that looks a little more reasonable about the cases here. So 6.9% monthly use, 4.6% annual use on top of that. But how are we going to narrow it down to just your state? Well, there is a variable, and you can go here to the selection filters and type in state. And then every state has a number. To find out what your state's number is, just put state in the row variable and run that, and it'll give you all the list of the states. But we're going to go with 41 because I just happen to know that 41 is the state of Oregon. Run that table. And we will find in the state of Oregon, for all people in 2010 through 2011, 11.1% used marijuana monthly, 5.1% used it within the past year. But since we're legalizing just for people over 21, wouldn't it be nice to know just the people who are over the age of 21? Fortunately, you can do that too. Age, parentheses, and then 21 through, and I just happen to know 103 is the oldest person they've got, but you could put that in the row to find out as well. Run that table, and now we will find all the information in the state of Oregon, how many people used marijuana 11.1% monthly.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-6-
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
At
As marijuana moves into the mainstream, more filmmakers are taking a look at all aspects of cannabis culture. These days, marijuana movies are about more than hiding from Sergeant Stadenko or trying to get to White Castle for the munchies. Join with us as we explore the latest in the cannabis cinema.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past, and I'm really excited about this new movie we're talking about today, The Culture High. It comes out this Friday, and joining me on the telephone, we got one of the producers. It's Adam Scorgi on the phone, I believe. Adam, are you there?
I'm there. How are we doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I got to tell you, I watched this documentary last night. I always like to watch them right before the interview, so everything's fresh in my mind. And I got to say, was there anything you left out, man? Everything's in this movie.
Well, we tried to, you know, whenever you're doing a feature, you're trying to make something that's ultimately timeless, right? That can sit for years. So, and we had to make it better than The Union. We had high expectations. So it's awesome to hear you say that, because we, you know, if it doesn't show on screen, we truly put our heart and souls into making something that, you know, you can enjoy, that's entertaining, but also a lot to learn from it, and a film of importance.
You know, when I was talking about this and tweeting about this, I said, this is the best doc I've seen, War on Marijuana documentary I've seen. And I've seen them all. And somebody came back to me and said, what about The Union, man? That was the best one. I said, these are the guys that made The Union, and they've topped themselves.
Well, I guess you're in great company if that's a thing. If people are trying to compare us with our old work to the new one, that's all we dreamed for when we went into this. We tried to make something that could live up to the expectations of The Union. And I know for me and the director's point of view, we are really happy with it. And after seeing audiences' responses, I think we were able to accomplish that. And it was really important for us because we'd seen so many others in the doc world and feature world where, you know, the follow-up film is usually a cash grab piece of crap, you know, not to diss any other filmmakers out there, but a lot of the times, which it wasn't for us, right? Ours was, we wanted to make a point that doing this next one, the follow-up, The Culture High, that it was something special, just like The Union, if not better.
All right. Before I get too deep into this, make sure I get all the plugs out here that we need to. If people want to see this on Friday, it's video on demand as well, or in theaters as well. I mean, what's the release on this?
Yes, how can people see it? Yeah, it's actually a really interesting release for this, because we're finishing our 1 week in LA, which is still running right now at LaMalle's Royal Theater, and it just did a week in New York at the IFC Film Center. And then we're doing Tug, which a lot of people aren't familiar with Tug, but if you want to bring the film to your local cinema, all you have to do is you go on a Tug, you put in your zip code, you pick the surrounding theaters by you, Tug will book the theater for you, and then they'll say, okay, in order for it to come, you need to hit this ticket threshold of 70 to 100 or 50 tickets. If you don't hit the ticket threshold, nothing happens. Nobody gets charged, and the event simply doesn't happen. If you do hit the ticket threshold, so essentially invite your friends, family, and local community, then the theater will get brought to your local theater, and you'll get 5% of the ticket sales for doing so, and you get to watch the film the way it was really meant to be seen on the big screen with the 5.1 digital sound that we got done. And so it's a cool way, because as filmmakers, our best place, or the thing we like to see the most, is our work with an audience. Because that's where it was really created for. So you see the humor, you see the people laughing at the parts that are funny, you see the people crying at the tender moments, and you see people getting upset when they hear some of the facts. And this gives everyone kind of that opportunity to be the filmmaker for the day. They get to host an event, or if they have a local drug policy organization they work for, or even their own podcast or radio show, they can then donate that money to their organization. They can add a fundraiser thing, you know, that 5%. It's a nice way to give back and get the film out there in a big way to theaters all across North America.
Where's the website people go to make that happen?
You can either go to theculturehigh.com or you can go to tug.com, which is T-U-G-G.com. Go in today, and like I said, worst thing's worst. Go in and put one and try to get it to your local theater. If nothing happens, you know, if you can't hit the ticket threshold, nothing happens. Just the event doesn't happen, and unfortunately it doesn't come to your account. But if it does happen, you know, what a great way to watch a film with. And then especially if you want to get some people in there that you really want to learn this information. You know, when they see it with a full audience and the audience is reacting, I can't tell you, like, you know, after touring all over the world with it, to see how it affects people so much differently when they see it on the big screen. Mm-hmm. Even people that didn't catch certain nuances when they watch it on their computer, and they watch it on the big screen, they're like, oh man, I missed that. I didn't get that that was meant to be funny, or I didn't get that that was meant to be that, you know, important. I catch it now.
Yeah.
Because we really, as you can contest from watching, I mean, our cinematography and everything was created for the big screen. I mean, we went and spent huge money on the sound, so it's 5.1 surround sound this time. Like, it was made to be viewed in that space, if you can get the space.
Yeah, Adam Scorgi with the Culture High. We're talking about this Friday, October 17th premiere on video on demand and on theaters. Go to tug.com, T-U-G-G.com, to get one at a theater near you. I'm going to do that with 420 Radio and see if we can't make a benefit for our Measure 91 legalization out of it.
That'd be awesome, and that's what I encourage. Is like, you know, as you know, the information is always the key, right? And getting people to have information is always the strongest resource they could have. And if there's a way that we can get the film known, educate communities, and raise money for all these local, you know, drug policy awareness groups, that's a win for everybody. I'm not asking you to just promote the film. I'm asking it to be a win for all of us, right?
Yeah.
You get superior content to educate the audience with, raise money for your local foundation, and the film gets seen. Like, that's why when we were approached by Tug, I was like, this is perfect. This way I'm not asking people like, hey, promote our film. Hey, promote our film. I'm saying educate people with our film and put money in your pocket. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why we're going also on October 17th. And I hate to just sound like I'm throwing all the release stuff out there, but we also took a very unique strategy. I mean, we pre-sold North America. So we're working with Phase 4, who's bought out by Entertainment One. So we have traditional release in North America, but we didn't want to make the rest of the world wait, which traditionally happens, right? Is that, mm-hmm, they don't get a release and they have to pirate it and they get a shitty version. So on October 17th, it's going to be available worldwide on Vimeo's new platform, Vimeo On Demand, which I think for a fair price too, where everywhere in the world, if you have an internet connection, you can now get the film. No more waiting 2 years to possibly get it, or it comes out on DVD. On October 17th, the whole world, they go to Vimeo, they go to our websites, they will find the film and they can get it.
Awesome. Awesome news. And folks, everybody you want to hear on this issue is in this, and every aspect is covered. I thought in the middle, you got a segment, an act, I guess we would call it, where you just covered the media. And it's not really,
yes,
even about weed or the drug war, but just how can something so blatantly false be pulled over on the American people? There's your answer.
No, and thank you. The media part was one of the parts that our director, Brett Harvey, that was one of the reasons why he wanted to do this film, is that he's like, I think that's how I can make it different, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's not really about marijuana, but it really helps you to understand why this argument has been so polarized for so long. And it's because the media takes sides and they get you to buy into this, my team versus your team, red team versus blue team. Mm-hmm. I have to defend my badge of identity no matter how much evidence is put in front of my way, because that's the way I was brought up, and that's the news station I watch, and that's the part that, you know, when people have come out of the theater, they've been like, man, like, they're like, you have my mind smoking right now, right? And how we went into that, and it was, it's awesome to see that reaction, that it's, you know, you connected with it, and so many people in the audience seem to be connecting with that part, because it's something Brett fought very hard for.
Good.
And it's like, that's how we make this film different than,
yeah,
the rest.
I mean, that's why I do what I do every day, is because I feel like, you know, the truth is not getting out there in the mainstream cycle. So we've got to do it on our own. We're speaking with Adam Scorgi from the Culture High. And folks, not only does this movie star big names, you got Wiz Khalifa and Snoop Dogg and Sir Richard Branson, Joe Rogan's in this thing. We've got Be Real is in this. I mean, some big names people will recognize. But if you're also a fan of this show and the drug reform movement, you get people in here like Bianca Barnhill and Dr. Donald Tashkin, Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Stephen Downing from Leap, Todd McCormick was heavily involved with this. I mean, what was it like to get so many people from disparate realms to be a part of this movie?
It was, you know, it was a challenge, but I mean, after doing the union, a lot of people opened their doors, right? It's kind of like that guy said, you know, God bless the guy that was like, hey, your caller, like, what about the union? It was easy because people had recognized, even if they hadn't seen the union, they'd heard about it, or if you Googled it and they saw that it was really well received, people were like, okay, I will jump on board for something like that. And, you know, we wanted to make a nice mix of that, as we also understand the game as filmmakers, you know, that in order to hit that mainstream audience, you had to get some of those mainstream names, right? Even if they're not the most politically active or, you know, have years of knowledge like a Dr. Lester Grinspoon or something, they're going to help you in the movie game, which is a business first, mm-hmm. okay? And in the business world of movies, what's going to sell your movie and what's going to get a big advertisement and reviews and placement and all the stuff that we've received is those big names, right? So it was awesome to get all of them like for that because it really helps the movie reach a widespread audience. But then also you get cool perspectives that you weren't expecting. Like Snoop Dogg is really funny in the movie.
Yeah,
he has a nice, you know, comedic bit and, you know, something that's another risk that director Brett Harvey takes because a lot of people think when it comes to a drug war film that the entire feeling throughout the film should just be like depressing information, get you upset. And we think totally the opposite. The only way for, you know, those really emotional moments to really pull your heartstrings is if you have some uplifting bits in there too. You have to have that emotional roller coaster in order for the facts to penetrate.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, if it's just, you know, like kind of like I use Inconvenient Truth as a good example. Although it won the Oscar and heavily acclaimed documentary, like it's tough to sit through that film twice.
Right.
Right. Like it is just so like boom and boom. And like halfway through, you're like, okay, the world sucks. We're dying. Just no more, no more.
Yeah.
You need to be able to go through like a good movie has arcs. It has ups and downs.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what we're always trying to make is a great movie. So I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but seeing it, you know, after just going to Iceland and the UK and all this and seeing how they respond to different people we interview differently, really, I just give more kudos to Brett Harvey and how he nailed it. Like, you know, he had people in Iceland howling where their first language is not English and we didn't have it subtitled, although most people in Iceland can speak English. And in the UK, where they have a very different sense of humor, and they were howling in the theater too. And then in both places, people were bawling when they saw the Jason David in the medical section, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, what young children are going through. So it was awesome to get, you know, to sit down with all these people and hear their perspectives and learn from, you know, some really, really heavily accredited, you know, researchers and doctors and people that have really been, you know, arguing drug policy for a long time. But then also sitting down with the Sir Richard Bransons of the world and the Snoop Dogs and hearing their perspective and what they learned. It was, I mean, it's something you can, you know, you can't always put monetize the value of something. And I know the journey for us of making the culture eye is something that probably 20 years down the road, it'll really kick in with what we accomplished.
Yeah. It's an amazing film, The Culture High. Check out theculturehigh.com. Adam Scorgi, thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. We really appreciate it. And visit TUGG.com. Get this film, The Culture High, in your local theater. Adam, thanks so much.
Oh, thanks. Anytime, Russ. You know, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. We're going to teach you why the Oregon sheriffs are so interested in keeping marijuana illegal. Back right after this.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Finally, a perspective on how it really feels to do cocaine. From the inside.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Essentially, you have slurred the meaning of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 45 after the hour, and it's time for us to take a look at why the Oregon sheriffs are so intent on keeping marijuana illegal in this state. When the public money disappeared to bring Kevin Sabet to educate Oregonians about the perils of legalizing marijuana under Measure 91, the Oregon Sheriffs Association stepped up quickly to replace the $15,000 needed for Kevin Sabet. And there's the email right there where Kevin Sabet acknowledges that. They stepped up quickly to replace that $15,000 needed to pay Kevin Sabet to continue the Oregon Marijuana Education Tour and Summit that only seems to happen in October when legalization is on the ballot the following November. But a look at the funding for the No on 91 campaign shows that out of the $167,425 they've reported as of today, a whopping 98.6% of that came from the Oregon Sheriff's Association and the Oregon Narcotics Enforcement Association. In fact, they're the only donors over $500. $20,000 here from the narcs, $45,000 here from the sheriffs, another $100,000 here from the sheriffs. So why do you suppose that the cops in Oregon are so hell-bent on ensuring that marijuana remains illegal in Oregon? After all, marijuana was decriminalized in 1973. It's no big deal, says No on 91 spokesperson, Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis. Quote, you didn't get a free ride in a police car. You didn't have a criminal record. That's what less than an ounce of marijuana is in Oregon. End quote. And, of course, we have 69,000 medical marijuana patients and another 34,000 or more caregivers and maybe about 15,000 growers. So, potentially, over 100,000 Oregonians whose marijuana cultivation and possession are protected under law. People who can go to legal dispensaries and buy and sell and shop for marijuana. So, why the big push by cops to keep the greater than 1 ounce possession and non-medical cultivation and sales crimes on the books? Well, it's simple. As my pal Rick Steve says, follow the money. The state of Oregon produces an annual report on asset forfeiture in this state. You may have read the Washington Post story on it or seen John Oliver's segment on HBO. Basically, asset forfeiture is when the cops steal your cash, your car, your home, and your other valuables under the pretense that it was all ill-gotten proceeds from criminal activity. This idea, which was pushed by then-Senator Joe Biden in the late 1980s, was to seize the sports cars, the yachts, and the cash from all those Miami Vice cocaine kingpins and use the money to fund police efforts to catch them. That's a laudable goal, but one that came with a really big unintended consequence: policing for profit. No longer was the idea to go after the cocaine kingpin, who could afford an army of lawyers to defend himself in court and get his stuff back, but rather go after the small-time drug user or drug dealer who had just enough money worth taking, but not enough means to fight to get it back. And it does take some means to get it back, as your property has no constitutional rights and is considered guilty until proven innocent. In fact, you personally don't even need to be charged with a crime, and usually aren't, in order for the cops to steal your stuff on the basis that it was criminal stuff. So the Oregon asset forfeiture totals are now scrolling by on the screen. And according to the asset forfeiture report, this is for 2013, folks. Criminal and civil asset forfeitures grossed $3.6 million for the state, $2.5 million of that in cash. After cost and distributions, the net proceeds of those funds were $1.7 million. 19 police agencies made 136 criminal seizures, and 24 agencies made 258 civil seizures. Of these 394 Oregonians whose property was stolen, 330 of them, or 84%, were uncontested by the owners. Because it is somewhat difficult to hire a lawyer to get your cash back when they took all your cash. And often the cost of the lawyer exceeds the value of the cash seized anyway. It's not worth going after. Now, this is where marijuana comes in. Of the 273 prohibited conduct crimes that led to a criminal forfeiture, 90% of those were drug crimes. 90% of those were drug crimes. There were multiple crimes involved in 136 criminal seizures. So, you know, it's possible someone, you know, got pulled over, they smelled weed, they found weed, but they also found meth and coke. That's possible. So that's why there's more seizures than there are actual seizants, I guess. But anyway, of those drug crimes, remember, 90% of the 273 prohibited conduct crimes that led to a criminal forfeiture, 90% were drug crimes. Of those 90% that were drug crimes, almost half were related to marijuana. On the civil side, of the 543 prohibited conduct crimes, 97% were drug crimes, and 22% of those involved marijuana. So any way you slice it, making marijuana no longer a contraband item will take a big chunk out of that net proceeds of $1.7 million annually, $1.4 million of which went to city, county, and state police and district attorneys. Now, another reason behind wanting to keep marijuana illegal and why it's so important for law enforcement to keep marijuana illegal, even if it's just decrim illegal, is because marijuana is the key that unlocks your constitutional rights. See, for the cops, the Constitution's a bit of a problem. You have these rights, damn it. You have this right not to be harassed just because a cop has a hunch and wants to shake you down. You have this right not to testify against yourself, not to incriminate yourself. You have this right to remain silent. You have this right to refuse searches. Boy, that pisses cops off. Yeah, they see you with your long hair, with your tattoos, with your piercings. Maybe you're driving while brown. They just know you're up to something no good. They just know there's some crime going on there somehow. But doggone it, they got to have probable cause. They got to have reasonable suspicion. There's got to be some crime going on before they can actually mess with you. Boy, that's frustrating as a cop when you see that dirtbag over there and you just know he's up to nothing any good. You just want to bust him, but God dang it, he's not doing anything technically illegal. Well, that's where marijuana comes in, folks. Marijuana is unique among drugs in that it has a powerful smell and that it is commonly used. 1 in 9 adult Oregonians, this is 21 and over, folks, 1 in 9 adult Oregonians uses marijuana on a monthly basis. That's 314,000 Oregonians. If you add people in who've used within the year, that's another 4.3%, or 15.4% of Oregonians who've used marijuana within the year. That's 1 out of every 6.5 Oregonians. That's 436,000 people in the state that use marijuana. And so there's a pretty good likelihood, especially when you're looking among younger people, because those numbers are much higher in the college age area, 18 to 25, it's somewhere around 25%. That are using marijuana on a monthly basis. So when you pull the cop, when you pull the car over and the cop's got a suspect that he thinks is a worthy seizure, perhaps it's a nice new car. Perhaps the guy seems to have a little more money than you'd expect him to have. Well, if you got something worth seizing, all the cop needs to do is to claim he smells marijuana to establish the reasonable suspicion he needs to bring in the canine drug dog. And how do you fight that in court? See, if you've got your little iPhone or a recorder of some sort, you can videotape what's going on, and that's legal in all 50 states. You can get what he said, you can get what he did, but you can't possibly prove what he smelled. There's nothing that records the smell as evidence. So when it comes time to go to court and the cop says, I smelled pot, and you say there was no pot smell, who's the judge going to believe? Now that he's got that reasonable suspicion, he can bring in the canine dog. And the drug dog, when it alerts, and by the way, folks, a drug dog alert, 1 out of 5 times that a drug dog is run around the perimeter of a car, it is a false alert. 1 out of 3 times when the drug dog is run around the inside of the car, it's a false alert. But when that drug dog alerts, whether it's the real alerting that there's actually marijuana there, whether it's the dog smelling marijuana that used to be there but it's no longer there, whether it's the dog reacting to the subconscious context clues that the body language cues that the handler is giving it to make it alert, or maybe it's even a purposeful false alert thanks to cops surreptitiously smearing weed on a suspect vehicle beforehand. That's a case in Illinois I reported on where they'd find an 18-wheeler they thought and they wanted to take a look at. They'd go smear weed on it. And then they'd pull it over later for a violation of some sort. And of course, the dog would smell weed. So no matter why this dog is alerting, that's all the probable cause he needs to go searching and seizing anything he might find. So, when you think about the cops spending $167,000 on the No on 91 campaign, you think about the cops that threw another $15,000 at Kevin Sabet to come here to scare people about marijuana. When you look at it that way, spending a little less than $200,000 to protect a $1.4 million cash cow is a pretty reasonable return on investment. After all, let's take a look at some of the really neat stuff the cops were able to buy. This is from the 2013 Oregon forfeiture action. Get back to the camera there. And we can just take a look at this stuff, folks. Here we go. All right. The city of Canby was able to get a new data system, you know, like a new cops data system thing. Central Drug Enforcement of Oregon got $82,000. Clackamas County DA got about $19,000 and has no plans as to how they're going to spend it. Expenditure plans undetermined at this time. South Coast Interagency Narcotics Team got some expenses and investigation money. Here's some big money down here. Gresham Police Department, just east of me, got $34,000. Expenditure plans undetermined at this time. We haven't decided how we're going to spend that $34,000. Harney County got $34,000 to buy as buy money for drug stings and training for drug enforcement. Let's see. Jackson County District Attorney got $42,000 for a case management system to upgrade their databases, I guess. Let's see. Lane County. That's the University of Oregon. That's where a lot of college kids are. Lane County got $106,000. Expenditure plans undetermined at this time. We don't know how we're going to use it. We're just going to hold on to that $106,000 for a while. Medford Police Department, that's Southern Oregon, where there's a lot of marijuana growing, $213,000. Part of that bought an undercover vehicle and expansion of the property control facility. That's right. They got seizure money to expand the place where they store shit that they've seized. This is the dirty picture of the drug war, folks, and more people are becoming aware of this. Washington Post, like I said, did an excellent job on the asset forfeiture issue, as has the John Oliver Show. That entire post is up on RadicalRust.com. It's got links to all the supporting documents. And if you'd like to help us dig through all of these documents that we're uncovering, they're all available at RadicalRust.com/docs. Remember, tomorrow I will be on the Jefferson Smith Show at noon Pacific Time on X-Ray FM. 107.1 FM here in Portland, Oregon. In between Josh Marquis before me and Kevin Sabet after me. They had to get two of them on the air just to be able to battle me. And they'll still lose. For everyone here at 420radio.org, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it.